The most important time to stop going to your church, a response to the Gospel Coalition. It was a few weeks ago now that the Gospel Coalition, TGC, posted the article, The Most Important Time to Go to Church, and it's linked below. The most important time to go to church, according to the TGC author, is when you don't want to, because covenant commitments are made for the hard times, not the good times. On Facebook, it was liked or loved almost 2,000 times, and it was shared almost 1,000 times. So it appears that the conservative evangelical world thought well of it. Someone sent it to me, which is how I see pretty much every article I see, and after I read it, I posted this comment on their Facebook page here, and there's a link below. Quote, this article acts as if all the reasons for staying away from church are petty. It makes no allowance for spiritually abusive churches, of which there are many, churches that are essentially cults. It makes no allowance for the fact that many people are experiencing genuine traumas that others in the churches are telling them to get over. It makes no allowance for the fact that there are churches in which there are predators, and some people have tried to alert the leaders to the predators, but the leaders ignore them and tell them they're just bitter and unforgiving. There are many good reasons to quit going to a particular church, but this article acts as if no matter what has happened at your church, you should be there. This is frankly hogwash. End quote. There are so many wounded. So many wounded. And the Gospel Coalition gives only petty reasons for leaving a church? I posted it on Facebook, and there's a link below, and the ensuing 20-page discussion ended up giving me the fodder for my own article. Reasons, he says, you don't want to go to church. And this is a bulleted list. You have no sense of connection. You don't want to see the ex. You have no desire to be there. Your church has grown unsatisfying. The worship team didn't pull their song selection from your Spotify playlist. The pastor didn't have the time and resources to craft a mesmerizing sermon with a team of presidential speechwriters. The membership doesn't have the perfect combination of older saints to mentor you, younger saints to energize you, mature saints to counsel you, hospitable saints to host you, and outgoing saints to pursue you. All the stars didn't align. The service wasn't planned just right. Everyone didn't smile at you with the perfect degree of sincerity and handle the small talk seamlessly and engage you with just the right depth of conversation that's neither too personal nor too shallow. The songs or prayers or sermons or Sunday school classes didn't touch your soul right where you needed to be touched. There are very legitimate reasons for leaving the organized church meeting for a time, sometimes for a very long time. But the only reason he gives above for not going to church that is even close to legitimate is not wanting to see the ex. The fact that he's lumping it with those other so-called reasons indicates to me that he thinks it's petty and doesn't understand that some exes can intimidate with a certain look or gesture or a single word. Every other reason is devised specifically to make someone who leaves a church sound petty and nitpicky. The shorter list of reasons he says you're supposed to go to church. Another bulleted list. You need to hear the studied voice of your own shepherd teaching and comforting and correcting you. Covenant communities hold us up when we're faltering and pick us up when we're fallen. Covenant communities encourage us when we're weary and wake us when we're slumbering. Covenant communities draw us out of ourselves and call us to our commitments and responsibilities. Covenant communities invite us back to the garden of Christian community where we grow. These can be true in a healthy and true church, but there are many, many covenant communities, not a biblical term, by the way, that are actually spiritually abusive. He does not allow for this possibility even a tiny bit. Honestly, I've known of so many, I can't even count them all, and I'm so weary, who have seemed like glorious covenant communities with unctuous preaching and fervent singing that have acted like the devil himself when it comes to a victim of abuse trying to get help. Their true colors haven't shown to most people until then. The longer list of reasons he says you're supposed to go to church. First bullet. That tabled bread and wine represents the crucifixion of the worst sins you could ever commit and the worst realities you've ever experienced. It was our Lord Jesus who was crucified, not our sins or realities. That's a really important point to keep straight. Also, I have a friend I regularly share the Lord's Supper with who is actually a churchgoer, but who is in a church where the people do not know the pain and realities she is carrying and wouldn't know what to do with it if they did know. So that to say, We can share the Lord's Supper outside of the Sunday meeting context. Bulleted point number two. The church gathers every Sunday to remember the death of Jesus for our sins and the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and that's precisely what we all need to remember and celebrate, regardless of what else is going on in our lives. We do need to remember the Lord's death and resurrection, but some churches don't gather for this purpose. They gather as cults. You may be surprised how many churches have great evil within the leadership. And of course, the people are unsuspecting, because who in the world is going to join a cult on purpose? In the audience for which a TGC author is writing, many churches fall into the category of which I am speaking. Bulleted point three. The gathering of the saints is a means of grace established by God for edifying his people. I very much disagree with this, though I know it's almost scripture coming as it does from John Calvin. I believe that the only means of grace is Jesus Christ himself, by faith, through his Holy Spirit. Bulleted point number four. The God we're worshiping has instituted our gathering as a main way he matures and strengthens and comforts us. Our Lord actually never says this about the Sunday meeting. Saints should surely encourage each other, challenge and comfort each other, but as I hinted earlier, most of my such interactions take place outside of going to church. Bulleted point number five. God builds up his people through our meeting every time, in every place, without fail, no matter how we feel. This is so baldly and obviously false that I think this is where I flipped out and declared the whole thing to be hogwash. Things he says you need to be doing at church. Number one, you need to be pursuing others and caring for them and reaching out to them. Other people need your spiritual gifts and gospel partnership. Church leaders ought to have the understanding that this isn't the way it works. There are those who are strong, able to help, and those who are weak, needing help. Jim Wilder in Joy Starts Here recognizes that the weak and strong need to be together because that's the way a healthy church functions, but they can't all be building each other up at the same time. Some people are not ready to pursue others and care for them because they are in a place of crisis. This author didn't even allow for the desperate need in that place of crisis. This is what I wrote in this article linked below. Number two, the pastor is hoping you'll be a good listener. This one sounds a bit pitiful to me, like we're all in elementary school. I have to say, when a preacher teaches me something I didn't understand before, or helps me understand an old truth in a new way, or encourages us, I don't usually have any trouble paying attention. I could get into a discussion of whether or not the sermon should be the central focus of the church gathering, but I won't go down that trail. Number three, you can't do any of these things if you're not present. By this, he means present at the Sunday meeting, the weekly gathering. This is absolutely untrue. It's possible to pursue, care for, and reach out to others and use our spiritual gifts and gospel partnerships, whatever those are, outside of the Sunday gathering. Most of the time, other settings are far more conducive to this. Reasons he says you shouldn't ever think of not going to church. Number one, a body that's never together is more like a prosthetics warehouse. A family that never has family dinners or outings or reunions won't be a healthy family. But we can get together outside of the regular meeting and have very meaningful times of prayer, worship, and fellowship together outside of church, as this man is defining it. Number two, covenants are made for the hard times, not the good times. Church covenants in the TGC tradition have been known to be used against people who are being abused in their homes. There are churches that have required members to sign church covenants that have been known to use those very benign-sounding covenants to be spiritually abusive to their members. Number three, you're gathering to anticipate a greater marriage than the one you hoped would happen later this year. I'm not sure what this means. It sounds like nonsense. Number four, the stone trapping you in the cave of depression can be rolled away in a night, and once God does it, no Roman soldier or Jewish priest can stop him. This kind of miracle does happen, but it doesn't have to happen at church. Number five, you need to let God pick up the pieces of your heart and stitch together the kind of mosaic that only gets fully crafted when saints stay committed to God's long-term building project when they speak the truth to one another in love. This often happens someplace other than at church. Number six, it doesn't matter how you've been treated. These are the words of an abuser or an abuse enabler. Seriously? It doesn't matter how you've been treated? It doesn't matter how you've been treated? So you were raped. Just hush your mouth. It doesn't matter. Your husband beat you and treated you like a sex slave. Be quiet. It doesn't matter. I am absolutely appalled. Number seven. This isn't really about you. This one also breaks my heart and again shows the cruelty at the heart of this way of thinking. What I hear from this is, you are not really all that significant to God. It reminds me of the pastoral rant I heard years ago. You don't come to church to get, you come to give. And there's a link below to an article about that. That's the kind of thing that will create shriveled, dried up Christians who cannot possibly truly help others. If we don't get from God, how can we possibly have anything to give others? In order to have the living waters to pour out to others, we must receive from the Lord. Yes, it's about us, every bit as much as the Psalms are about David. David used first-person pronouns a whole lot in the Psalms. Paul used first-person pronouns a whole lot in his epistles, too. Yes, it's about us. Yes, it's about me. It's about you. It's about the people in our lives. We are very precious to our Savior. Legitimate reasons for leaving your church. My list, not his. What if you find out that an underage teenager in your church was raped by a member of your church, and your pastors want to handle it in-house, and they tell you they'll take care of it? Is it all good? Should you just trust your pastors because, quote, covenant communities invite us back to the garden of Christian community, where we'll grow, end quote? What if you find out that your pastor is preaching a false gospel, a gospel of works? Should you stay and endure it because you need to, quote, hear the studied voice of your own shepherd teaching and comforting and correcting you, end quote? What if you're in an abusive marriage and can't get the help you need because no one will listen or believe, or they tell you that the suffering will be good for you? Should you just submit and obey while you die a slow, painful death, not just emotionally but physically because, quote, covenant communities hold us up when we're faltering and pick us up when we've fallen, end quote? What if you find out one of the leaders of your church has been visiting prostitutes, but the other church members won't listen to you? Should you just submit and obey and keep your mouth shut? Should you continue to join this, quote, gathering as a main way God matures and strengthens and comforts us, end quote? What if one of the leaders of your church is lying to you and about you, and no one else will listen to you, but of course everyone is listening to him? Should you stay because, quote, covenant communities encourage us when we're weary and wake us when we're slumbering, end quote? What if you're watching the leadership of the church become an elite boys' club, with or without one or two token women, who don't listen to the lowly church members because they're so busy listening to each other? Should you keep going because, quote, covenant communities draw us out of ourselves and call us to our commitments and responsibilities, end quote? What if you find out that your pastor is a sex trafficker? Should you leave your church? Should you keep going because, quote, God builds up his people through our meeting every time in every place without fail, end quote? You think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. These reasons for leaving a church aren't really that similar to the list the TGC author gave under the first heading. But I've never heard anyone give the reasons for leaving that he listed in his article. The reasons I've listed here, well, every single one of them is a story I've heard. Because of the circles I run in, the majority of these stories I know come out of churches that would love the Gospel Coalition and would repost this article. Sometimes these so-called houses of God are hiding absolute evil. You might be surprised at some of the things I've learned. So when the people sense that they are in a spiritual wasteland, it's exactly the right thing to do to get out and get as far away as they can. God has living water for you, but it isn't in a cultic authority exalting organization. They want to say church is all about community, but when that community stabs you in the back, they'll say, "Why were you looking to man instead of God? After all, it's not about you." I pray that the Spirit of God will bring a great shaking to the churches, and that the true people of God will recognize, yes, It is possible for evil to infiltrate our churches. Imagine that. And yes, we have been blind to it. God help us. Lord, have mercy. At the bottom of this article, I've posted a section called Wise Comments from Others. They were made on my Facebook post of the article. I'm not going to record them here, but I want to alert you to them so you can go to the bottom of the article to read them yourself.